Welcome to the Autoimmune Connections Podcast. I'm your host, Tammy Anderson of ThrivingPrimallyWellness.com. I'm an adventure enthusiast, a survivor of an autoimmune health crisis, and a certified functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner who helps people who are struggling with chronic health conditions rebuild their health and reclaim their lives. I have created Autoimmune Connections to bring you hope and to empower you to take control of your own health and become the healthiest, happiest version of you. Each week, I will bring you the stories of real people who struggled with long-term chronic health issues or autoimmune conditions, who reclaimed their health and their lives by making changes to their diet and lifestyle after being failed by the conventional medicine sick care model. On occasion, I will bring you experts in the health and wellness space, often people who themselves reclaimed their health and their lives from the brink of disaster by taking their health into their own hands. The content of this show is for general informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a substitution for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or to treat or cure any illness or medical condition. I will end each episode with a weekly nudge, or in other words, a little nudge of encouragement to try something new that will move you towards improved health. Happy journeys, everyone, and enjoy the show. Thank you for joining me on this first episode of the Autoimmune Connections podcast. I am so excited to be bringing you stories of hope, empowerment, and healing from chronic health conditions, including autoimmune diseases. Conditions that I refer to as issues of modern lifestyle. For this first episode, I wanted to introduce myself and share my big why that drives my passion for helping to improve the health and quality of life of other human beings. So my good friend Dori Martin will be interviewing me during this episode so that I can share this story. Chronic health issues have become so common in our modern culture that most people believe that chronic health issues are just something to expect, or in other words, something we just recognize as true or normal, or maybe I just have bad genes, or my very favorite, it's just a normal part of aging. But the reality is that this thinking is far from the truth. As human beings, we are designed to be healthy, and we will be given the right conditions. I would like to share with you some mind-blowing statistics about our modern state of health affairs in the United States. 50% of U.S. adults have a medical diagnosis of some form of chronic health condition. In 2014, Americans spent almost $300 billion on prescription drugs, and that number is estimated to reach $400 billion by 2020. In 2015, $5.2 billion was spent on advertising to market prescription drugs to consumers. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't recall as a young child seeing commercials on TV or hearing commercials on the radio that advertised prescription medications. Almost 70% of U.S. adults are overweight or obese. 70% of U.S. adults take at least one prescription medication daily. 80% have some type of mood disorder, such as anxiety, depression, or ADHD. And 97% of adults would be considered unhealthy by standards of adequate nutrition, adequate exercise, abstaining from toxic habits such as smoking or drinking, and having a healthy body composition. In my mind, these statistics are not okay, and something's got to change. As I mentioned earlier in the episode, I have a special guest with me on the show today who will be interviewing me so that I can share with you my own personal journey of healing. Dori Martin is a friend and fellow FDN who has a healing journey of her own, which we will hear about on an upcoming episode. After losing multiple family members to painful battles with cancer who had sought treatment through the conventional medical model, Dori's journey in functional health began with her mission to help yet another loved one who had a terminal cancer diagnosis find options for healing outside of the toxic conventional treatments that are offered through conventional healthcare. Dori has her own podcast, Off the Medical Grid, where she explores alternative therapies for chronic health conditions and offers resources for people who have decided they are ready to try holistic means of healing. Welcome to the show, Dori, and thank you so much for joining me today to help me tell my story.
Hi, Tammy. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so honored to be one of the people that's going to help you get your message out to your listeners.
Thank you. I'm so excited to get this podcast started. This idea came to me a few months ago, and you know, it's one of those things that when the idea comes to you, I just had this feeling that I have to act on this, because this is another way of getting information out to people, and there's so many people out there who need our help.
Absolutely. And as we discussed, and as you had said, one of the great ways to get people aware of what's going on and what solutions we have out there with all the new research and great results that we're getting is to really share stories of people who have gone through the medical model and decided that at some point they wanted to try something more holistic. And, you know, that's something that's so powerful about your experience and your background. And so I know that you have your own healing journey, and I was wondering if you could share that with us.
Absolutely. So I just, you know, I think that my health issues really started well before my symptoms started. And I think, you know, that is pretty typical with most people, but they don't realize that that's what's going on, right?
Right.
So, you know, most people don't attribute stressful situations with later events involving their health. But stress is such a powerful force on our health. And really, in order to address the bigger underlying causes of health, stress is one of those things that needs to be addressed in order for the healing process to take place.
So true. I think that a lot of that's not one of those things not being addressed when you go into the doctor's office. A question that's not being asked is what kind of stressors are you dealing with or have you been dealing with in your life?
Exactly. Or, you know, what kinds of stressors did you deal with as a child? And so, you know, kind of building up to that is I think my chronic health conditions really started with an incredibly stressful and traumatic childhood. So I had a mother who was very, very severely mentally ill. And, you know, my siblings and I lived with her until I was 10 years old. And so during that time, we were exposed to so much trauma and crisis that is just, you know, not part of the norm, although that's what we thought it was back then. So I also had, you know, my father was an alcoholic and a smoker and, you know, was either absent or angry. There was never really any in between. And so my parents got divorced when I was in really early elementary school. And there was a ton of discordance between my parents, lots of fighting and yelling and really kind of, you know, just violent yelling, which was really scary for a small child to watch. And then my dad, could call him sort of, he just sort of disappeared. He didn't disappear entirely. Mm. We would see him from time to time, but he just kind of distanced himself from the situation. So we really were left in the hands of this really severely mentally ill mother. So, you know, that was a huge part of it. So in addition to living with a mentally ill mother, you know, we're also living in really pretty extreme poverty. I remember for most of my childhood, the refrigerator was empty, save for maybe a jar of ketchup and mustard.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, maybe a limp bag of carrots at the bottom of the refrigerator. We were oftentimes left to our own devices. So my mom, who was out of it most of the time, would send us down to the local convenience store with a food stamp dollar, and we would buy a candy bar, and that would be our dinner. There would be no breakfast. So, you know, during the school year, we would get our free lunch at school, and that would really be our nutritional sustenance, would be a candy bar for dinner and the school lunch. And there was usually not anything for breakfast. So there was a lot of
Yeah, a lot of nutritional deficiencies involved. And then along with that poverty and the mentally ill mother, you're also, you know, the dirty kid at school with the ill-fitting weird clothes. So then you have that lack of social acceptance among your peers. So there's this huge piece of my childhood that was just extremely traumatic and stressful. And I really think that that contributed to the health conditions that I ended up with later in life.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It sounds like based on your childhood, you didn't have a sense of trust built, a sense of security, any routine, and a sense that life was safe. There was nobody there that really had your back. It sounds like you had to really fend for yourself from a very early age. And on top of that, you felt like an outsider at school because life at home was so different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, when you're raised this way, for a lot of that period of time, you don't realize when you're a small child, you don't realize that these crazy things aren't going on in other people's homes.
That's true. Yeah.
until you go to somebody else's home, you take a look around and you're like, whoa, wow. Look at that full refrigerator. I've never seen that before. So my symptoms, you know, my health symptoms really started, if I look back at it, probably late elementary school. I started having intermittent intestinal pain, and it was mm-hmm. never predictable, and it never lasted forever. So my parents kind of just chalked it up to me being a hypochondriac, and we never did any investigation into what was causing it. It never killed me. So I just had to sort of deal with this intestinal pain that would just kind of strike me at unexpected times and leave me curled up into fetal position on my bed for a few hours until it passed.
Wow, that's awful.
Yeah. And then that intestinal pain kind of followed me throughout my teenage years and into my 20s and 30s until I finally got things figured out. So also beginning in middle school, I started having, you know, like hay fever types allergies where itchy eyes, runny nose at certain times of the year. And then I had evidence of a depressed immune system starting in high school, where I started getting strep throat that at least once a year, sometimes twice a year. And that, again, that pattern followed me into my 20s and 30s as well. So it was really into my late 30s that I was getting strep throat at least once a year, often twice. So, of course, there's antibiotics that goes along with the strep throat. So, you know, antibiotics are causing more damage to your gut. You know, fast forward into my college years, I started getting really chronic sinus infections. And this really ended up changing the course of my college days because I was a college cross-country runner and track runner. And I ended up having to end my college running career because my sinus infections were so severe that I was, you know, going through like a family-sized box of tissues every single day. And
wow.
I was just completely miserable. And so in order to avoid being on antibiotics all the time and nasal steroids and those kinds of things, I had to make the choice between running and being on medication all the time. Come to find out many years later when I, you know, addressed my health issues and healed myself, I was going to college in a wheat farming region in northern Idaho.
And oh my gosh.
Yeah. So cross country season correlates with harvest season. So, you know, all of this wheat dust is being thrown up into the air and I'm running and, you know, breathing all of this stuff in. And it just made me super sick. So, in addition, during that time, my allergies really just bombed out of control. I started having issues with chronic bronchitis. So I'd have bronchitis during the winter every year. I ended up being severely anemic, and this led to really extreme fatigue. So I ended up having to have many of my classes recorded by a friend with one of those little recorders that we used back in the day. And then I would have to, you know, listen to these recordings of the lectures on my own time because I couldn't stay awake during my classes. And it was one of those things where, you know, I kind of felt like I was being lazy because, you know, you look around the room and everybody else is managing to stay awake, but you're fighting with every ounce of your being to stay awake and you just can't. And I truly chalked it up to the fact that I was just being lazy.
Wow.
Yeah. And then in addition, around college, I started having acne and skin rashes. So all of this is stuff is that, you know, the symptoms, which ended up coming to a head later, really started and just kind of got progressively worse. And I didn't realize at the time that they're all correlated and related. So then moving into my 20s and 30s, you know, my mid-20s when I had my kids, it was a period of really intense stress. So I'm starting a teaching career, which is in itself very stressful career. And I've got two young kids. So I'm trying to be a mom to two young kids and keep up with a teaching career. And of course, at this time, there's worries over finances. I'm also at this time doing marathon training, which at the time, I thought that this was a super healthy thing to do, right? That's what we're taught by popular media. But I didn't realize at the time how taxing on the immune system and the adrenals that, you know, endurance training really is. It's also catabolic and breaks down muscle tissue. And I wasn't doing anything to build that muscle tissue back up through weight training or anything. And then, of
course, did you at the time consider yourself healthy because you were able to do that?
It's funny. Yes, I did. But meanwhile, I was sick all the time. I always had bronchitis or a sinus infection, or I'd get ear infections. I was tired and run down all the time. And so people around me who are the couch potatoes, they're not sick all the time. And I am, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm doing all of these things to stay healthy. And, you know, and in addition, I'm also eating the standard prescribed endurance training diet of pasta and more pasta.
Right.
Which it's the whole wheat. I was eating the whole wheat pasta, so I thought I was being super healthy, you know, and come to find out later that pasta was literally killing me.
Mm-hmm.
So during this time, the intermittent intestinal issues increased, you know, they became, the intestinal pain became more frequent. I ended up at the emergency room a couple times. I had all sorts of lab work and scans, but guess what? Everything was always normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the doctors are telling me everything's normal. And I'm starting to feel like, again, I must just be a hypochondriac because nothing is showing up. So I just felt like I was a complainer. And so then you get to this point where you don't really want to talk to about it anymore because you've been to the doctors and they've told you nothing's wrong. So also during this time, throughout my 20s and 30s, my acne became progressively worse. And I mean, anybody who's struggled with acne knows that it's just a really humiliating condition because your face is the first thing that people see when they see you. So I'm an attractive woman, but I felt like dirty all the time because I had this acne all over my face. And I felt like people thought that I must not take care of myself because I have acne. But in reality, you know, I was so religious with my skincare, and I tried every lotion, potion, and pill out there. And some things would work for a few weeks, and then the symptoms would just get worse again.
Right. That must have been so frustrating because you're doing everything right, and it's not being reflected in your outward appearance or how you felt.
Exactly. Yeah. So I felt like it was really a defeating time in my life. You know, I just felt defeated and broken down all the time. So in addition to all these other symptoms I've talked about, I also experienced, you know, what people would call ADHD or just this brain fog, where I kind of would describe this time in my life as feeling like I'm kind of participating in life from a different dimension than everybody else. I couldn't keep track of thoughts or sentences. When I was talking to people, I would say a lot, which made me self-conscious because I thought, oh my gosh, they must think I'm stupid because I'm just saying all the time because I couldn't get my thoughts out of my mind or out of my mouth. You know, when I was teaching, it would be after school. I would be planning for the next day or grading papers or something. And I would get up from wherever I was working and walk across the room. And 2 hours later, I would find myself immersed in a project that I had no intentions of even starting and having you know, forgotten about the one that was the priority.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge issue. And then the allergies is what really, they started in middle school, but just got progressively worse every year until, you know, I was the girl with allergy. They just dominated my life and really became part of my identity, who I was. I couldn't go anywhere without a box of tissues. And I always had a box of tissues sitting next to my seat in the car when I was driving, because I never knew when I was going to have an emergency and need a tissue. And I remember getting just so ticked off at my husband if he would be in the passenger seat and move my tissues to a place where I couldn't reach them. Because, I mean, it happened all the time, because it was just like, if I'm having an emergency, I need those tissues right now.
Like, it was, right away.
It was awful. Yeah. So my allergies, like, just felt like 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
That sounds horrible.
I had this.
It took over your happiness. It was taking down your quality of life.
Absolutely. You know, itching, like the inside of my nose, the back of my throat, inside my ears, felt like there were bugs or worms crawling around in them all the time. I would sneeze probably 60 times a day. In fact, as a teacher, when I met parents for the first time, oftentimes parents would say, "Oh, my child says you sneeze a lot." Because I literally sneezed all day long.
Wow.
So I was also in my 20s diagnosed with asthma, so required asthma maintenance. So I had maintenance medication that I took daily, and then an emergency medication that I had to carry with me. In fact, in, you know, all my marathon pictures, or most of them, you see an inhaler tucked into the waistband of my shorts. So never knew what was going to happen. I went through a series of weekly allergy shots for like 2.5 years, which didn't help a single bit. And then every year, starting in October, I would get bronchitis. And this bronchitis would lead into walking pneumonia. From October until April, every single year of my life, I was wrought with bronchitis.
Oh, wow. That's hideous.
Yeah.
So how did you function?
Pretty miserable existence. Yeah. I don't really, to be honest, that's a good question. I have no idea how I functioned. I just compensated. I just did what I had to do.
It became a way of life. Just anticipating it happening as the season came, you just knew that this was what your fate would be.
Right. Absolutely. And so, you know, and you just kind of, too, when you've been to so many different doctors and nobody has been able to help you, you just sort of accept at some point that I must just be unlucky and have bad genetics. Or, you know, my husband used to say all the time, it's because your dad smoked in the house when you were growing up. So, and that could be part of it as well. But, you know, you sort of just reach this point where you just think, I'm unlucky. I have bad genetics, and this is just what my life is meant to be. I'm meant to be miserable while other people are enjoying their life. So, you know,
so tough.
It doesn't end there, believe it or not. Really, the icing on the cake happened with a really serious health crisis that started in October of 2009. I had already previously mentioned, you know, talking about getting bronchitis every year in October and having the allergies. But October of 2009 is really an important milestone, because that year, I got, you know, the typical worsening of the allergies when the windows were closed up in October, the bronchitis set in. But I also got this, and I put in air quotes, sinus infection that just wouldn't go away. And at this point, you know, I was actually working on a master's degree in human nutrition, and I was really investigating holistic means of healing, and really didn't want to go on antibiotics for this infection.
Right.
So I tried all sorts of different holistic treatments, and I will say treatments because I was treating symptoms, not the underlying cause, and nothing worked, and it was getting progressively worse. So eventually I ended up at the doctor for a round of antibiotics the same time I got strep throat, actually. So I'm thinking, all right, this round of antibiotics is going to clear up my sinus infection and the strep throat at once, and I'm going to feel good again. But that didn't happen. So after this initial round of antibiotics didn't work, I asked my doctor for another round. He gave me another stronger round, but said, you know, if this doesn't work within a few days, I'm going to send you in for a CAT scan. so we can see what's going on in your sinuses. Well, it didn't end up working. I ended up getting the CAT scan, which showed that all of my sinus passages were completely 100% blocked. So I was
sent
So I was sent to the ear, nose, and throat doctor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the ear, nose, and throat doctor took a good look at it, said, things don't look good. Here's what we're going to try. I'm going to give you this really heavy-duty antibiotic. You're going to take it for a month. If this doesn't work, your only option is surgery. So, you know, I was a really compliant patient. I did whatever was asked of me because I really wanted to get rid of this. So at the end of this month-long round of antibiotics, things didn't end up improving. So I ended up with the surgery. A couple weeks after surgery, things aren't improving. Long story short, I end up with two surgeries in a three-month period, neither of which helped the situation at all. If anything, it made it worse.
That seems so frustrating.
Yeah. So all in all, in a 14-month period during this 20-month nightmare, I was prescribed 21 rounds of antibiotics that my doctor described as needing an act of Congress to prescribe. So you can imagine how detrimental to the gut microbiome these antibiotics are. They were just killing me. I was calling myself an antibiotic soup.
Also, yeah, 21 rounds.
Yeah, it was awful. So I also was assigned to do daily irrigations of my sinuses. So four times a day, I was completely irrigating my sinuses with a saline solution. During this time, I was prescribed liquid steroids to try to bring down the inflammation in my sinuses. That didn't work at all. I was treated for MRSA. So during this period of about 3 to 4 weeks, I was in to see my doctor 2 to 3 times a week, during which time he would inject this horribly tasting gelatinous goo into the deepest, darkest recesses of my sinuses. And then I had to inject it independently at home in between the treatments. That didn't do anything.
What a nightmare.
I was finally, it was an absolute nightmare. I was finally, referred to a doctor in Boston who also happens to be a medical instructor at Harvard Med School and who is touted to be the world authority on sinuses. And so I was very optimistic going to see him. He had such high accolades and was, you know, had such a reputation. So I was really excited about this. And I went to see this guy, and what would you guess he wanted to do to treat me?
Oh, no, don't say it. Did he give you more medication?
That was his answer. He said, take a sample of, you know, we're going to get a culture. I'm going to send you over to the lab across the street. You're going to get that culture started right away. We're going to identify the exact bacteria that's causing this infection. I'm going to prescribe you the right antibiotic to cure this. And I'm going to see you again in a month and you're going to be 100% better. And so I marched myself over with my little sample to the lab and I dropped it off. And a week later, I got a call from him saying, well, nothing really grew on the culture, which is what had been the case. Pretty much every week I was, you know, the doctor was doing another culture and nothing mm-hmm. was growing. So as it turns out, this doctor, a few weeks into seeing him, he recommended a third surgery that would be even more invasive, along with IV antibiotics. And at that time, I lost my mind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because at this point, you've seen a lot of specialists. You've gone through multiple surgeries. You've done everything they told you to do. And it sounds like nothing really gave you lasting results. And so you're in the same space.
Not only did it not give me lasting results, it didn't give me any results. So I just basically was killing myself with these antibiotics, making myself sicker, and it was just miserable. I dropped a ton of weight. And during this time, I was sleeping probably 2 hours a night. And part of that was because I couldn't breathe at all. So when you can't breathe through your nose, your mouth becomes very dry. So I felt like a dehydrator had gone through my nose or my mouth while I was trying to sleep. And, you know, part of that was just the incredible stress and worry that I was going to die from this. The best doctors out there weren't able to help me. And I had tried so many other things, including energy healing and some other treatments, that I became kind of hopeless. And I just felt like, I know I'm going to die from this. I just don't know when I'm going to die from this. And I laid awake at night thinking about the fact that I wasn't going to get to see my kids graduate from high school. I wasn't going to get to meet their future wives or attend their weddings or see what they did for careers as an adult, as adults. I was going to miss out on most of their childhood. And so those are the thoughts that are going through my mind. And to be completely candid and honest, I really didn't want to continue my life. It would have been so much easier at this point to just not be on this planet anymore, because there was not much that was enjoyable about my life. But the only thing that kept me from taking my life and kept giving me hope was the fact that I didn't want to leave that legacy for my kids. Right. And I wanted to see them grow up and see what they did with their lives. So in addition to laying there for 5 or 6 hours a night worrying and crying, I also did a lot of repeating positive mantras and making promises to the universe, one of which was, I will get beyond this, and when I do, I'm going to use this horrible experience for the good, and I'm going to do something to make this world a better place. And of course, I didn't know what that was at the time, but the answer certainly came to me, and that is how I ended up investigating and finding functional diagnostic nutrition and getting training as a functional health practitioner so that I can help other people who are struggling with chronic health conditions reclaim their life and feel good again. Because, you know, I believe it's our birthright to have a high quality existence on this planet while we're here.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. A total agreement. But it sounds like, you know, through something horrible that happened to you, you're finding a way, going back to the time when you were told to have yet another surgery and you lost it. So what happened after that? What does that look like? And how did that set you on a different path?
Ironically, I mentioned that I was working on a master's degree in human nutrition, and I ended up not finishing that program because, unlike what I expected, it was a very conventional ABA-driven approach to nutrition. And so I ended up not finishing it. However, one of the last professors that I had in the program when I was in the middle of it was one of my nutrition courses, and this professor every week kept saying, you guys got to check out this website. Check out this website. And he couldn't assign us to read this website because the information that was given in this website was outside of the curriculum that he was required to teach in an ADA-driven nutrition program.
Interesting.
So he just had to suggest it, and he was relentless about suggesting it. Every single week, it went on for weeks. So finally, one week, I'm like, all right, I'll check out this website. Uh-huh. So I read the website, and I just had this major aha epiphany moment where I was like, oh my goodness, all of these foods that I've been eating are the foods that are making me sick. So this website introduced me to the work of Rob Wolf and Mark Sisson and Lauren Cordain and all of the, you know, really the big people in the paleo movement. And I just immediately, and I'm talking cold turkey, there was no warm-up period. I just ripped through my kitchen. I removed every wheat and grain product from my kitchen. I removed all dairy, all legumes. I mean, I went all in, 100%, and just removed all of those things from my diet. And I can't say that I healed 100%, like, right away, but I healed myself enough that it totally reduced my inflammation and cleared up my what we called a sinus infection, but really wasn't. It was just a symptom related that it was a symptom related to a sick gut. And right. So I removed all of these foods from my diet. And by the time I returned to my follow-up appointment with the guy in Boston that I refer to very warmly as the snot doctor, when I returned to him, I felt like my sinus issue was 100% resolved, but I was just a shallow shell of a human being at that point, with my confidence was completely broken, that even though I was having no symptoms and I felt substantially better, like 100% better, I was afraid to say to him that I was better because I was so terrified. Yeah. I mean, we take what our doctor says as such the gospel, you know?
Absolutely.
And so,
yep.
I went into this appointment, this small little shell of a person. He didn't even ask me how I was doing. He just said, you know, started talking about next steps for treatment. The surgery that he had mentioned at my previous appointment when I lost my mind, and, you know, the IV treatment. And I just sort of said in this whisper, I think I might be better. And he sort of looked up at me with this look of shock and said, are you sure? And I said, well, I think so. And he goes, let's go take a look. So he put me in the exam chair and gave me an examination. And he said, you are 100% better. The inside of your sinuses could not look any better than they do.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So it was 20 months from start to finish with that disaster. But, you know, I look at that experience as just part of what made me who I am today. So although it was hell while I was going through it, I wouldn't change that because it brought me to where I am today.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, like you said, people really pay attention to what the doctors say. But here you feel better and everything is improving. So, you know, it's great that he was able to be there and, you know, give you that affirmation, but it was something you probably knew going in. What was his response when he found that everything was better? Was he curious about how you did it?
He did not ask. He didn't ask. I had to offer. So he just, you know, gave the exam and it was like, that was it. And he was kind of like sweeping his hands free of me. And I said, do you want to know what I did to improve things?
Right.
And he just sort of like looked at me with this sort of look of surprise and said, oh, yeah, what did you do? And I told him, and he didn't totally poo-poo it. He said, well, I said, I know you're going to think this is crazy, but, and he said, no, I don't think you're crazy. He said, Western medicine doesn't have all the answers. So he gained a little bit of respect from me with his response there. But it is interesting that he did not ask me how I healed myself.
Yes,
and I will
absolutely
say that some of my allergy symptoms, the seasonal things, persisted although I had dramatic improvements in my health, a lot of my symptoms persisted in a very mild version of what they had been before for a couple of years until I discovered functional diagnostic nutrition, did a bunch of lab testing, discovered that I had some pretty big hormone imbalances going on. And I had a really leaky gut and worked to speed up the healing of that through some supplements. And now I can say that I am just symptom free all around.
See, that's fantastic.
Symptoms. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Isn't it true though? I mean, it's not just one thing. A lot of times food is a significant part of it, but as you said, it'll get you pretty far, I think, down the healing path. And it does take time, but then sometimes digging deeper, you might find other things, which is the great thing about functional diagnostic nutrition for sure.
Absolutely.
And, I had a question though, going back to the time when you were all in and you decided to switch everything out in your kitchen, were you convinced that this was the magic bullet, the thing that was going to help you, or what made you jump all in? And did you have any reservations or any questions about how this would help you on your healing journey with changing the food?
You know, that's a really interesting question. So,
yeah.
And I laugh because my level of desperosity was off the charts at this point. So I would, if somebody had told me at this point that I just needed to go out and, you know, stand out in my backyard naked and howl at the moon and dance and that would cure me, I would have done that. So I was desperate. I was desperate for answers. But the website that this guy, that this nutrition professor led me to, and the information that I continued to dig into and just devour over the, you know, the coming months and years, it was very compelling. And there were many stories of other people who had, you know, very different issues than what I had, but people who had really healed themselves from really, you know, serious chronic issues. And so it was compelling in that way, because there were these real stories that I was reading about. And, you know, I figured, why not give it a try? I mean, it can't hurt me to remove these foods.
Right.
So why not? So, yeah.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense.
So part of what made me dive in 100% was, A, I was desperate. And B, what I was reading was really compelling, and it made sense to my scientific brain.
So for the people out there who think that it's too difficult for them, what do you say to that? How do you answer that question, or that feeling that they have a reservation for changing their lifestyle like that with regards to food?
I kind of come at this from a pretty no-nonsense angle. So my question would be, what's more important to you? That you feel good every day, or that you continue eating foods that are making you sick and feel like crap? What's more important?
Yeah.
Continue eating foods just because you like them, or, and you're used to them, that's something that's always been part of your diet, or is it more important to you to feel good every day? And that's really what it comes down to, is feeling good. And you know what? When I started feeling good, Dory, I had gone my entire life not knowing what it really felt like to feel good and to have normal energy. I never knew what that was.
Yeah. The lifetime of feeling sick and feeling like that was your fate in life, and to get on the other side of it must have been amazing. Like somebody switched something on and you were on the other side of this dark space and into the light where you're feeling amazing. So now you're a picture of health. I mean, people probably have a hard time believing you were ever in that kind of situation.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's why it's really important to me, why this first episode was really important to me, to get my message of healing out there and to let people know what my background is and what my own personal healing journey was. Because when people see me now, I look like this radiant, energetic, and healthy person. And for somebody who's just meeting me and didn't know the Tammy of 10 years ago or 20 years ago, they don't realize that I am a completely different human being than I was, because this is who they know now. And so I think that that's really important. And a lot of people who are in this health and wellness space have stories of their own where they recovered themselves from some sort of chronic health condition. And I think that those stories are really important to get out there for people to understand, because it gives you validity.
Absolutely. And people can see now that you're doing really well and you're on the other side of it. Whereas a while ago, not so long ago, you were feeling like this is the way life was going to be. So we've gone through your journey. And so the question I have now is, how are you using your experience and your background to get your message out to people? And what does that look like?
Part of that is my podcast, obviously, you know, bringing information to people, bringing stories to people. And part of that is my work as a functional health coach. So I work one-on-one with people. I do my consulting via Skype, Google Hangouts, FaceTime, or phone. And I work with people who are struggling with chronic health conditions and coach their health up over a period of time. So I implement a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. I implement functional lab testing so I can help my clients get to the underlying causes of these symptoms that are plaguing them. And then I work with them on, you know, lifestyle modifications, diet, rest, exercise, and stress reduction. And then getting at those hidden causes of stress through those lifestyle changes, and then also with really targeted natural supplements that will help to facilitate the healing process.
Excellent. So in addition to listening to this podcast, how are other ways people are going to be able to reach you and to find out more about you and to work with you?
So the easiest way to reach me would be to visit my webpage, which is thrivingprimallywellness.com. Again, that's thrivingprimallywellness.com. All one word, yep. And can find out more about my backstory there and how my coaching works. And there's a form right on that page that you can, if you're interested in working with me, you can fill out and get started with an initial consult so we can find out whether we would be a good coaching match or not.
That's excellent. Well, I really enjoyed listening to your story. It's so inspirational. I think it's so important that you got that out there to let people know that there are options when they find themselves in a place where the medical model isn't working for them and that you have this process in place. You're living proof and example to people out there that, you know, they don't have to just survive. They can thrive. And as your logo says and your motto says, you know, we're meant to thrive, not just to survive. So looking forward to seeing what comes up next and, you know, watching or listening to your podcast going forward and seeing where it takes us.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, getting back to what you said about we are meant to thrive, not just survive. There are so many people right now, Dori, who are just surviving their everyday life. I survived for so long and I had no concept of what it really meant to thrive. And people deserve to thrive.
Absolutely. We only have one life and, you know, you just have to make it count. And there are options out there and awareness is a big part of it.
You got it. Yeah. So Dori, tell us again before we hang up, how can my listeners find you?
So I have a podcast as well. It's called Off the Medical Grid. So look me up on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast information. And also I have a Facebook page, which is also Off the Medical Grid. And you'll also be able to find me on Instagram.
Awesome. I will make sure to put all of that information into my show notes. So if you are interested in learning more about Dori, you can find the information about her on the show notes for this episode. So
awesome.
Dori, thank you so much again for being with me and doing my interview on my very first episode. It was so awesome to talk to you. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
For the weekly nudge for episode one, I want to help you begin to optimize your wellness right away. So head on over to my website, thrivingprimallywellness.com, leave me your email, and I will send you a download for a free food planning guide to optimize wellness. And you can begin using that guide to begin optimizing your health right now, today. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Autoimmune Connections podcast. Because I am truly grateful and honored to have you as my listener, I will be doing a giveaway at the start of episode 9. Two lucky winners will receive a copy of Rob Wolf's new book, Wired to Eat, and two winners will receive a copy of Dr. Terry Wall's amazing new cookbook, The Wall's Protocol, Cooking for Life. To enter this giveaway, I am asking you to do two things. One, leave me a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever podcast site you're listening on. I look forward to hearing your feedback. Your reviews really do help and will help me achieve my goal of making it to the top of the charts and make the new and noteworthy section on iTunes. This in turn will help me reach and impact more people who are suffering from chronic health conditions or autoimmune diseases. And two, visit my website, thrivingprimallywellness.com, and leave me your email to claim your free gift of a comprehensive, color-coded food list that I have developed that you can use to get started on improving your health right away, and also so that I can update you on upcoming podcast episodes and blogs, and where you can find some links to some of my favorite things. Finally, you can find links to all of the weekly shows on my website, thrivingprimallywellness.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next week.